Now, I wasn't expecting all of that. And if you don't mind, I need to take just a minute and prepare my heart to feed from the Master's table. And the Lord told me that these times would come, and He gave me this verse as my watchword. It says, if I'll always remember this, you'll keep my heart straight. If you want to look at it yourself, you can open your Bibles to Luke 17:10. There's nobody I hold in higher esteem than men that give their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ, such as Dave Roberson, Tim Stemple, my friend LaRue, Pastor Brock Flint, if he was here. I know he's on his way. I don't think they've had time to get here yet. Many others, Charlie Rogers. I don't hold anybody on earth in higher esteem than those that will give their life for the gospel. I myself, least of all saints. This is the way I do it. If you want to minister from the heart, this is how He told me to do it, Luke 17:10. And I'm just going to do it. I don't normally do this kind of thing. This is what I do in private. But for your sake, Lord, Master, I've only done those things that You've commanded me to do as a part of my call. I am Your unprofitable servant, Jesus. I do not serve You for money. And I do not serve You for men's approval. And I do not serve You for any other reason except You bought me. And my life belongs to You, Jesus. And the service itself is my reward. Lord, all I ask is that You fill this vessel with Your presence, that You Yourself may minister to the people through me. Lord, by Your Spirit, move up and down these aisles. By Your Spirit, heal the brokenhearted. By Your Spirit, restore hope where hope has been lost. By Your Spirit, do signs and wonders among Your people, confirming the Word as it goes forth. Jesus, my life belongs to You. You can do with me as You will. If this is my last day on earth to serve You, let it be my best. If You desire I stay till You come, then I trust You for the strength to do that. But I want You to know, Jesus, I want You to hear it from my mouth today. My life belongs to You. Do with me as You will, Master. My service to You is my reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that'll prepare your heart. It was a long time before I understood what Jesus was saying there. And I love it. I'm glad we can have fun in church. Now, you think I don't appreciate it when men of that caliber would say something like that. But I want you to understand I intend to come out and say what Jesus tells me to say, whether they like it, whether they don't like it. You understand me? I'm glad they like it. All right. I think I'm ready now. Hallelujah. Now, the one thing that the Lord told me about this, we have the two services that I know this morning. And you know, when you pray a lot in other tongues, like Dave says, it'll mess you up. Your problem is never going to be having something to teach. Because the Holy Spirit is a wonderful teacher. Your problem is going to be, oh Lord, we only have so many hours. How could we possibly touch the surface of all these things? So I find my natural self getting like, okay, Nasunos, how I am. All right, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this, we got to hurry up, okay, I can do that in 10 minutes, Lord, and we can cover this in 5. And of course, you can imagine what His instructions was. Slow down. He says, as long as I stay in peace and trust Him to bring forward those things that are most needful for you, you will get what you came for. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, my intention, we're going to be, you can go ahead and be turning to a verse I'm sure you've never heard of, Hebrews 11:1. We're going to be talking about hope primarily. And by the time we're through, you're going to see a new aspect of hope on the born again trail. And a new aspect of faith on the born again trail. Now, in the course of this, what Tim was talking about when Dave said that the reaper has caught up with the plowman. Kenneth Hagin puts it this way. He says, you know, every generation should not have to reinvent the wheel. Kenneth Hagin says, what it took me 50 years to learn, I've put on tape and I've put in books for you so that you don't have to take 50 years to learn those things. Then if you hook up with the same teacher that Kenneth Hagin has, which is the Holy Spirit, and you hook up with the same teacher that Dave Roberson has, which is the Holy Spirit, then you can see where a person could catch up. That's the whole purpose of putting all of these things on tape and in books, so that we don't have to plow through and discover every single revelation that Kenneth Hagin has discovered and Pastor Dave has discovered that way. They're just so generous to share it with us, just give it to you carte blanche, you know. Then we can hook up with that same teacher, because he not only will teach you those same lessons, but he'll make them personal in a way to you so that you understand that you're not living off Dave's revelation of faith, you're living off your own revelation of faith. You get to know Jesus yourself, see? My favorite definition of faith, of course it always, was Hebrews 11:1, but the older I get and the more I understand, I like Lester Summerall's the best. Faith, I can't do the voice as well as Dave, Faith, get to know God. That's faith. You get to know Him. Not formulas about Him. You get to know Him. And you start having some faith. You can't be around Him and not come out with faith. I mean, He's full of this stuff. Can you hang around Pastor Dave very long and not go away speaking in tongues? You can't do that, can you? It's an impossible thing. You're not going to hang around God very long and not walk away full of faith, hope, love, and everything that He is. It's just going to rub off on you. You're just going to get it. So, I think the Lord is trying to accomplish several things. Number one, Sue and I are as ordinary as they come. If you're blessed by any of this, understand, this is what God can do with a truck driver and a housewife, help me, who will come in, submit to the shepherd, in the sense of, if he says meditate this way, then you meditate that way. If he says plant your hiney in a chair and pray 6, 7, 8 hours, you old flaky thing, then you plant your hiney in a chair and you pray 6, 7, 8 hours. And every time your flesh says, no, you make it sit there anyway. And then the next day you get to do the same thing. See? And if he says, learn to distinguish God's voice, and I want to talk about this set of tapes, then you do that. Now, that brings me right up. So it's going to be a combination of, we are just anything that the Lord teaches us. Anything that you get. He doesn't show me that stuff because there's something special about Sue and I. We people that know us, we're as plain as they come, aren't we? Yeah. Having more faults than a lot of you. He doesn't teach us this stuff because we're something special. He teaches it to us because we do what Pastor Dave says. We meditate. We pray. We just do it. And if you do it, He'll teach you the same thing. Got that? So that's one of the things to accomplish here. Secondly, I'm going to be reading you a lot of the fruit that has come from obedience to this little set of tapes. And for benefit of this tape, I'll say it's a two-tape series called Distinguishing God's Voice by Pastor Dave Roberson, a young and coming evangelist that God's going to use someday. Hallelujah. Now, The sad part is, this is the first set of tapes that Sue and I ever purchased when we started coming to the prayer center in 1992. And I know a lot of you have already heard this. You're about to hear it again. And one reason that it was the first set we bought, it was the cheapest set they had. And we didn't have any money, you know, it was $10. And they haven't raised the price in all those years. Praise God. You know, that was in 92. And today, I know $10 barely covers the cost. I mean, there's not much there, you know. By the time you put tapes, labels, albums, personnel to do all that, you know, LaRue knows. I know. Well, now, you need to get this set of tapes, because if you don't have this set, do not leave the conference. I don't care what else you buy. I mean, it's all wonderful. But now, myself, if you're going to ask me, say, I only have $10. Out of all those wonderful tapes, which one should I buy? I'd say this set right here. If, and here's the big if you'll do them. Now, he goes into great detail on here, which I'm only going to capsulize, but you need the set of tapes because you need the detail. In essence, it's like this. You are a spirit at your core. Your spirit is not some vague thing like a ghost. Dave goes into detail here with the rich man and Lazarus after they had died, and the rich man was in hell and Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. First off, you'll notice, I mean, it's a real story. That's not a parable. We're given the man's name. Lazarus. These were real people. This really happened. This is not some kind of a parable or illustration. We're seeing a rare opportunity to see beyond the veil into the next life. All right? The rich man says, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Lazarus. Now, wait a minute. This man's body is buried and in the ground. Yet, his spirit has eyes. Got that? And he says, I pray that you would send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. Now, wait a minute. Lazarus has also died. His body is in the ground. Yet, his spirit has a finger. And he says, I pray that he would dip his finger in water and come and touch my tongue. Your spirit man has a tongue? What do you think's happening when you're praying in tongues? Your spirit tongue is using your natural tongue. And the end result is this, your spirit man, if you were to stand here, if I was to stand here, and my spirit was just to step right outside and stand right beside me, he'd look just like me. You've got eyes. If your spirit has eyes and fingertips and a tongue, don't you think it might have the rest of the parts of you, you know? You've got spirit legs, spirit brain, spirit ear. Now, the part that... I literally wore this set of tapes out when we first came. Now, this was all revelation knowledge to this old Baptist boy. I'd never heard such stuff in my life, but there it was right there in the Word, you know. There's no denying it. Dave kept saying, he says, now, when the Holy Spirit is when you're praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit is the one giving you the utterance. He's the one literally creating those syllables. You're hearing them in your spirit brain, passing that information to your spirit tongue. And as you yield over to the Spirit, just like you can yield to your mind, all of you right now are yielding to your mind in the sense of, mind, you will not use my tongue while Gary's speaking. Aren't you? You're taking authority with your mind over your tongue right now. When you decide to pray in other tongues, you're basically saying, mind, step aside for a moment. I'm going to let my spirit man use his spirit tongue to pray spirit words created by the Holy Ghost that I'm hearing in my spiritual mind. You got that? So the Holy Spirit's creating the words in your mind. You're hearing them with your spiritual ear. Instantly, just like you hear thoughts in your mind and you speak them at the same time, you're speaking these words of the Spirit at the same time, bypasses the intellect, goes directly to your spirit tongue, and you're praying in other tongues. That's why your mind doesn't know what's going on. It never passed through your natural mind. It went from your spiritual brain directly to your spiritual tongue. That's why the mind doesn't like it. It doesn't know what's going on. All right, now, Dave was, so, boy, that was, isn't that good? You know, you think about that, and you go, yeah, and I was meditating on all that, and thinking about that, yeah, praying in other tongues, okay, I can see how this is working, and then Dave was teaching on there, he's saying, now, what's going on? While you're praying that, you're praying the mysteries, and even though your mind at that point is not receiving information, Your spiritual mind is. And you're receiving teaching directly from the Holy Ghost into your spiritual mind, that as your spirit is taught, and it starts to understands a revelation. You've prayed one of those mysteries through now. Then it's really your own spirit that starts going, hey, mind, check this out. And starts bringing the information from your spiritual mind into your natural mind. And that can come, how many knows, in a millisecond. You may have been praying in tongues for days, just whenever you could. And it always seems like, I almost think the Holy Ghost takes delight somehow. While you're taking a shower, the most inopportune time, you know, driving on the freeway, suddenly, here comes a revelation from God, you know. And then all of the, you know, you're stepping outside the shower, dripping everywhere. Where's my tape recorder? I gotta say this. Well, I got it fresh, you know. Well, so I got all that. I pretty well got all, because I listened to these over and over and over again, but there's something on there that I missed. For 6 years, I missed it. I'm trying to save you 6 years. I don't think we have 6 years. Okay? I'm not saying Jesus is necessarily going to come back, but I'm telling you, the revival we've been believing for is not going to tarry that long. And we need to get in with the flow and begin hearing a little higher degree level of hearing than we've been hearing so far. That's what I'm talking about. Now, here's what I missed. And it wasn't until Dave recently, from the platform, he was teaching really on another message. But just almost this sentence came out, and I remembered that it was on here, that I had forgotten. Here's the sentence. He just said, and I think it was the Holy Ghost answering, helping me, because it didn't really seem to connect so much with the message. But he says, now, don't forget, the same place in you where you hear the Holy Spirit speak in tongues is the same place in you where you hear Him communicate in English. Or if your native tongue is Spanish, Chinese, whatever your native tongue is. Now, I had missed that. I went and got that set of tapes out, played them again. To my chagrin, it's really on there. I missed that part. And I got to thinking about that, and I got to thinking. See, because I've learned over these years how to get revelation knowledge from my teacher. You pray, you meditate, just like Pastor Dave said. You do that, He will become your teacher, the Holy Spirit will. And He'll start unfolding these truths to you in a way that's personal to you. They couldn't beat it out of you with rifle butts. It's not theory anymore to you. It's bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. It's part of you. You got that? Now, I had a real good relationship with the Holy Spirit as teacher. How many of you know, because of that, now how many of you know that the Word says He's a lot more to us than just a teacher? He is also described as being our counselor. You know, when I was in college, every now and then I'd go in and spend time with the counselor, the dean. And because I would lean on his experience and his wisdom from all these many years of helping students, and I didn't know exactly, I had a question about direction, you know, maybe I should get a degree this way, maybe I should have a minor over here, should I include these courses or not include those courses? So I would go to him to make avail of his wisdom. I've never had that relationship very much with the Holy Spirit. I know Him as teacher. And most of the time it seemed to me like I would pray, I'd meditate, I'd talk with Dave, I'd talk with Tim, and I'd talk with others to get wisdom. But when it came down to it, most of the time it seemed like I'd have to rely on my own counsel. I'd just have to kind of make a decision best I could, hope that that's God. I know none of you ever had that problem. How many have had that problem? Okay, that's what I thought. Now, what Dave says on here is this. He says, now let me just ask you, what if you could get the Holy Spirit to be your counselor? Amen. Where when you asked Him a question like, well, should I marry this one or that one? You get a real answer. Should we live in Omaha or Houston? And he says Nashville. What I'm saying is, what if you could really have a real counselor? What if you could really be led by the Spirit of God? Would that be worth $10? Boy, I'm good at selling. I could always sell. Sue and I used to sell real estate before we got saved, and we were good. There's just no two ways about it. They made me the manager over a branch office because we outsold everybody else, so we could teach them how to do it. But now we're just selling the gospel at no charge. Glory to God. That's all I want to promote the rest of my life is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, okay, and I'm just giving you the skeleton. Trust me, you need these tapes. You need all the details you can get on this. At the conclusion, here's what you do. And the reason I'm going slow, I want you to understand the process. Because what we're going to get into when we actually get into hope, you're going to like it. I want you to understand the source of it. And I want you to be able to go to that source yourself when you leave here. You like that? Yeah. Trust me, if I can do it, you can do it. My favorite saying is, if God will use me, he'll use a tomato. You understand me? There's nothing special about Sue and I. Now, here's what Dave says. He says, all right, now just follow me through on this. He says, now, so when you're praying in other tongues, on the tape he drills you a little bit. He says, all right, now pray. So we start praying in other tongues. Kind of loud where you can hear yourself. Get it rolling. Go for a little bit. Now be quiet. If you listen, you can hear those tongues still rolling on the inside of you. For me, it lasts about 10, 15, 20 seconds, and then it seems to fade. Let's do it again now that you know what I'm going to do. Let's pray. And when I say stop, just cleave your tongue to the roof of your mouth and listen. Listen. Do it again. Ready? Stop. Hear those tongues? Now, you're listening at the ear of your spirit. Who's creating those tongues? The Holy Spirit's creating that. Where is he creating them? In your spiritual mind. Where are you hearing them? With your spiritual ear. What if those tongues were to change to English? Huh? What if they were to change to English? They will. They will. This is called waiting upon the Lord. How long does it take, Brother Gary, till you hear them? Well, but I mean, you know, you didn't understand what I meant. I understood exactly what you meant. What's it worth to you to hear those words change to English? Hallelujah. There's no more failure for you in life. Do you understand that? You're going to live in the right city. You're going to marry the right person. You're going to know what your call is. Hallelujah. Not prophesied to you by some so-called prophet. Mm-hmm. Or gleaned from some book about your personality traits. Do you want to know how you find your call? He tells you. He tells you. And he'll watch you in that office for a little while, and if you're faithful to do what he tells you, he'll promote you to another office. You watch Saul. Prophet, teacher, eventually promoted to apostle, was he not? Well, I don't care. I'm not saying God's called every person in this room to be an apostle. He's called you to be higher than you are today. I can say that without any saying as he has me. Y'all liking this so far? $10. I'm not kidding. I'll tell you how serious the Lord is one night about this. This was several weeks ago. It was on a Wednesday night. And if he was to tell me to do this, I would do it today. And if he does, I will do it. I've asked him already, and so far I haven't heard. But one night on a Wednesday night, I was teaching right along the same vein. That particular night, there was roughly 150 people here, between 150 and 200. Halfway through the service, talking about this, the Lord spoke up on the inside of me as clear as I ever heard anybody's voice in my life. He says, it's not my will that anybody leave this room tonight without this set of tapes. He says, you tell them, anyone that can afford to buy it, you tell them, it's my will they buy it. Anyone that cannot afford to buy it, I want you to buy it for them, personally. Now see, I learned a while back, Sue and I learned already, the secret to prosperity. Whatever he says to you, do it. Now, from the natural point of view, which I don't look at things like that anymore, but just from the natural point of view, there was 1,500 to 2,000, 150 to 200 people in the room at $10 a piece. We're opening, you know, just in case everybody says, ah, I can't afford it, you know. We're opening ourselves up to a potential liability that night of $1,500 to $2,000. Now, y'all ready for this? We can afford that. Because he's made us able to afford it. We have no income. For those of you that don't know how we operate, we have no secular income at all, no retirement, no IRA, no secret stashes, nothing like that. We don't sell anything. We don't sell any tapes. We don't sell any books. And if we do go minister somewhere, we don't take up any offerings for ourselves. We leave it completely up to the shepherd of that local place. If the Lord moves on him to take up an offering, fine. If he doesn't, that's fine also. And the Lord told us, he says, as long as you'll faithfully obey what I told you, I'll move on the hearts of the people I choose to support you in the ministry. Now let me finish the testimony. Well, thank God we have honest people here, the prayer center. I forget how many sets they sold. They sold a lot of sets of those that night, you can imagine. And But I didn't want to embarrass anybody. You know, I didn't want them to have to write their name if they couldn't afford it, but I needed to know how many sets so I could write a check back to the church, you know, because he told me to pay for it personally. So they just made a check mark back there. And the way it turned out, there was 21 check marks, and then the Lord instructed me to buy one more set to give to a person that wasn't here. So altogether, it was 22 sets came to $220. So I wrote out the check for $210. Then I got the instruction about the other one, so I gave him $10. And so it was a $220 outlay. Would you all like to just take a guess how much cash or how much income was in our post office box when I checked it the next morning? $220. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I say. The Lord finances his deals, not yours. He'll finance your deals when your deal becomes his deal. Now, you say, well, all he did was just reimburse you. Well, all I did was just obey him. That's nothing to do with how we eat. Sue and I don't eat based on our performance anyway. Previews. See, we were sharecroppers in the kingdom of God for a long time. Didn't know we were. My grandfather had a big ranch, raised Black Angus cattle, and they also farmed a lot of acres in order to raise grain to feed the Black Angus cattle, and also corn and things to eat. He had a big family, had 12 children, 7 boys, 5 girls, if I remember right. And as those boys grew up, you know, as soon as you're old enough to sit in the wagon seat by Papa, you're sitting there, you know, and you grow up out there in the fields learning how to, it's a family business. It's a family business. And the boys, you know, they go out in the fields to work as they grow up. All the daughters, there's things to do, you know, dear Lord, on a country farm, canning and cooking and everything that goes along. I mean, you know, everybody is involved in this. All right? And the thing of it is, you know, at the end of the day, when it comes supper time, you're out in the field, you've been working all day, you've been sowing, maybe you're the son driving the combine that day, maybe you're the son that was greasing the wheels of the combine, you know, lesser authority. But you know, when the dinner bell rings, all the sons, all the daughters, they come and they eat at Daddy's table. And they come and eat not based on their sowing. They come and eat because they're sons and daughters. And also, Grandpa would have thought you're sick. Something wrong with you if you didn't eat. till you's full. I mean, why are you only having one chicken leg? Well, I just didn't know if it was your will for me to have two. Now, sharecroppers, see, my grandfather had a lot of acres, and they never did completely clear all of that land. Some of it was pretty rough, you know, trees and rocks. But from time to time, there would be people come by and wanting to sharecrop part of that land. And they'd say, you know, Mr. Carpenter, I notice you're not using that 100 acres over there in the South 40. We don't own any land, me and my family. But if you're not using that land, if you would let us use it and live there, and we'll have to use your equipment, and if you could provide the seed, we'll sow it. And we'll just, you know, if you can give us some equipment and let us use the land and live there and some seed to sow, we'll just work. We'll live off a percentage of the harvest, and you can have the rest of it. Well, now, see, that's a valid way to live. People sharecrop because it is a valid way to live. But you got to understand there's a vast difference when the sharecroppers sat down to eat. There's a vast difference in how they ate and how the sons of the Father ate. Sharecroppers don't come to the same table. They're always going to eat the fruit of their own labors. And they're only going to get a percentage of their sowing. See, and that's part of why we're going down this born-again trail. About this time last year, I was driving home. I live about 2 miles from here. Driving home from here, and the Lord told me, He says, giving and receiving is sharecropper faith. It is a valid level of faith to operate in. Has sustained the church to this hour. Most people will never graduate from it. But He said, the level of faith that I desire my church to walk in is sonship faith, where they know that they own the very fields that they're sowing into. Now, only by understanding that relationship will the massive transfers of wealth be transferred by inheritance in order to fuel the combines of this great end-time harvest. How many of y'all want to eat at Daddy's table? Well, that's part of why we're going down the born-again trail. It's part of why we're going. I'm not even taking up an offering. This would be a good time right now, wouldn't it? See, because what this thinking does... Now, giving and receiving is fine. You can live there. There's nothing wrong with that. God loves a cheerful giver, you know. You know what He loves more? A son that knows he's a son. And when he goes out to sow, he's not trying to get his own harvest. He's trying to produce a harvest for his Father. See, can you picture what would happen if my grandpa's boys, one of them went out one day and says, I tell you what I'm going to do today. I'm going to plot me off about 7 acres of my own. And I'm just going to sow into my field for my harvest. You know what that, you know what grandpa would have done? He would have flat led him. That boy wouldn't have been at the supper table that night. You want to sow your own harvest, do you? Fine. Eat the fruit of your own ways. The rest of my boys, they're going to sit with me tonight at the supper table. I'm about ready to change tables. Our thinking's got to change, doesn't it, LaRue? Our thinking's got to change. We're sons and daughters with an inheritance. When we sow, it's not for our own harvest. It's for souls. We're out producing in Daddy's fields. We're sowing for Daddy here. This thing's about souls. He already said, listen, don't worry about it. Whatever I ask you to give, don't worry. Supper's at 5. Hallelujah. I'll ring the bell. Come get what you need. Hallelujah. And what's scary about that? That's been in the Bible. Get this. What Jesus said about getting your needs met. See if this doesn't sound like what I just said. Whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. I have a tape on that called Pass the Prosperity, Please. See, sit there at the table, just like, you know, coming to the table, you know. If you're sitting near grandfather's table and you wanted mashed potatoes, isn't that what you'd say? Pass the mashed potatoes, please. I'm a son. I'm an heir. I belong here. All that the Father has, He's given unto Jesus. I've been made a joint heir with Him. Pass the prosperity, please. I'd like to have some. Pass the healing, please. You single ones, pass the godly mate, please. Anna, stand up. Stand up. I'll show you how it works, Lou. Does it work, Lou? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. We haven't even started yet. This is introduction. I really do recommend this set of tapes. I'm only going to mention it about 20 more times. Well, I want you to start, and God wants, it's time. This message has come to harvest now. Dave's been plowing this for many, many years. And the Lord told Dave that it had come to harvest. It had come to maturity. And then the Lord validated that, like Dave said, at Kenneth Hagin's meeting, camp meeting this last year. And it's time now for sons to start really walking in the same kind of leadership that Jesus Christ walked in. He says, I'm not walking in the dark, boys. If you walk in the dark, you're going to stumble. I'm walking in the light of day. Aren't there 12 hours in the day? I don't make decisions without the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I'm not guessing anymore. How many of y'all would like to not guess anymore? $10. Okay, let's go on now. Did I make my point? Did I make my point? Okay, now I'm going to share with you some of the fruit from this so you can get a taste of it. I want you so hungry that whoever's operating the tape table has to believe for a healing because they were mauled by all these people trying to get these tapes, you know. And we'll pray for them and God will raise them up. Did I ever say, if you haven't found Hebrews 11:1 by now, forget it and look on with your neighbor? Now, one of the most common verses in all of the Bible. Now, and I'm going to try and share this from my heart. I'm not intending to bore you. I know most of you could stand up here and teach on Hebrews 11:1 and give a real good message on it, probably better than I can. What I'm trying to do is show you the difference. I've understood the same teachings you've heard on Hebrews 11:1 for many, many years. We've all chewed our Copeland Hagin, have we not? We understand. For now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I better get my glasses on. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. And we can go into all of the ramifications. Hope will never get it done, my brothers and sisters, because hope always puts it off into the future. I hope God someday will heal me, God. I hope to be healed someday. No. Now faith is. By His stripes I was healed. I'm not going to bore you with that. You know that, don't you? All right, if you don't, you need to chew on some Copeland Hagin yourself. Once I started doing this, distinguishing God's voice, and I started hearing from the Holy Spirit directly in English, I learned some things real quick. Of all things, LaRue could have told me, Sue could have told me, Daisy could have told me, now, maybe Pastor Dave could have told me. But anybody else, I'd have said, hogwash. If you'd have told me, I didn't understand hope. I've been teaching on this for years. Sue and I live by faith. We don't have any other income. If we eat a biscuit, it came by faith. You understand me? When I send the rent check off, buddy, it came by faith. We don't have any other way of getting stuff. People use us as an example of how to do this because we don't have any other sources. And those of you that ever have contributed to us, have I ever once made any of our needs known unto you? Never. And I never will because He told me not to. But He always supplies them, see. And so if you'd come and says, now you just don't, you know, problem with you, Gary, is you're a nice guy, but you just don't really understand hope. I wouldn't have believed you. And I'd have kept right on at the same level I was for no telling how long. He started correcting my understanding of all things, of hope. Of all things, to start talking. I would have thought, I mean, I know my obvious problems. The external things that we all, you know. And I would have thought, surely, that's where he would have started. It wasn't. Now, this is the advantage of having a real teacher and a real counselor who's able to search your heart. That one thing that humans just can't do very well. See, that's why we can't judge. Can't get in there and see your heart. But boy, the Holy Ghost can. And he went in and looked at mine, and he started saying, this boy just don't understand hope real well. He knows more about faith than he does hope. But now see, if you really look at that verse, let's look at it. I'm going to quote it one more time, and we're just going to kind of introduce this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's stop right there. You've heard messages like, your faith is your substance. Isn't that true? It is true, too. Norval Hayes, that's where I first heard it. Your faith is your substance, my brothers and sisters. But substance of what? Substance of your hope. And if your hope is defective, if there's something wrong with what you're doing in the realm of hope, faith has nothing to manifest. There's nothing for it to give substance to. We've got to understand godly hope. Now, we understand human hope. Human hope goes something like this. I hope someday to have a better car. I hope someday to have a nicer house. I hope some... Now, let's say you move up a little bit from the carnal realm. I hope someday I'll quit beating my wife. I hope someday I'll quit losing my temper. I hope... So that's another level, isn't it? Let's move up another level from the carnal. I hope someday that God would use me in the gifts. Okay? I hope someday he would heal somebody through my hands. Let's move up. That better? You see how your hope can operate in levels? Let's move up a little more. Higher, a little higher. I hope someday, once and for all, to find out my call. I hope someday to be equipped for my call. And let's move up to the highest one. I hope someday to walk as he walked. Now, hope can have a lot of ranges. We got people in here of all spiritual ages. Some of you right now, it would be a miracle of God to get your rent paid on time. I want you to understand, that's fine. God understands progression, growth. He wants your rent paid on time. He wants your car payments made. He wants you to have abundance, for not only for your own needs, but an abundance to give to every good work. And that is fine. And if that's where you're at, bless God, you take these messages and you apply them right there. But the idea is to get past the place. See, really what Jesus was teaching in Matthew 6, take no thought what you'll eat, what you'll wear, the clothes you'll put on. He's going, really, I'd kind of like for you guys to understand you have a Father. If you can ever learn to trust Him, you won't have to consume your life with getting your own needs met. He will provide your needs as He consumes your life to get other people's needs met. He's trying to move us there. Can you see that? Well, for me, apparently, a big step of it was understanding godly hope. Now, what I'm about to read you came on September 9th. I'm going to read you some, just some of these paragraphs. This is what I got. And I'm going, okay, yes, sir, I heard that. I want you to understand precisely what I was doing. From these tapes, Distinguishing God's Voice, I went to pray. I have an ugly building where I pray. LaRue, is it ugly? Yeah. It is ugly. LaRue's comment when I took him over there to show it to him, he looked at it, he raised his hands, and he says, I have no excuses. But anyway, I was practicing this. When it dawned on me again, I says, I'm going to go do this. So I got over there by myself. I have a little micro cassette recorder. If you don't have one, take a writing tablet, but have something. Who knows? Dave might not be wrong. He might be right. And if you do this, the Holy Ghost might talk to you. You might want to go with some anticipation. Take a notepad to write or something on. Take a pencil or a pen. The best, I think, is to have a little micro cassette recorder. Because he's going to want you to start practicing this all the time, and you never know when those tongues are going to change to English. You're not going to want to lose the words of your counselor now. All right? And if I think, how would Paul have done that, you know? Well, you hire about 10 scribes. What do you think Paul was talking about when he says, send the parchments? Send the parchments. That's all those notes that he would get praying in other tongues. He's not talking about the Bible. He's, send my parchments. It's his notes. That's his records. That my version of that today is all those little computer files that I type. Anyway. So, I went over to my ugly building. I said, bless God. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. You know, so I got over there and I went through my, you know, I have a couple of things that I do, just like worship, you know, the first hour or two, just worship, meditating, getting my spirit quiet, you know, kind of getting quiet. And I had about 6 hours left that day. I said, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to do just exactly what Dave said on the set of tapes. I'm going to pray in English, and I've got my tape recorder out. I made sure batteries were good. I'm ready just in case. I'm going to pray in tongues till I get it rolling. I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to listen. And I'm going to see what I hear. If it's tongues, I'll listen, because I'm trying to locate the ear of my spirit. Okay, so I would pray, get it rolling, shut up, and listen. Tongues. I'm hearing these tongues. What am I doing, though? I'm practicing listening at the ear of my spirit. I'm locating where that is. It's different from where your thoughts come from. See, that's the whole problem. We're always going, well, is it God or is it me? Well, you need to know the difference. Your thoughts originate in your mental brain, your natural brain. His words originate in your spiritual brain. You have a spiritual ear to hear those thoughts, just like you have a natural ear to hear my voice right now. Okay? But it's different. It's different. It's in the spirit realm, not in the mental realm. You need to learn the difference. Here's how you practice it. So I would do that. Tongues. After about 15, 20 seconds, it would fade. I did it again. Shada labrandos, they pray in other tongues. Clamp up, listen. Tongues. 15, 20 seconds, they fade. Okay? Do it again. How long did you do that, Brother Gary? It was not as long as you might think. It seemed like 14 years. Well, y'all do that for a little while. You know what I mean. You do that for a little while. It was sometime during the second hour. Just during the second hour. Shocked me. By this time, I'm expecting to hear tongues when I stop. But, you know, well, that's been going on for an hour and a half or whatever it's been. I didn't actually look at my watch, but it's probably about an hour and a half. So after an hour and a half of that, you're thinking, you know, by now you're thinking, okay. You know, now, Gary, how long would you have kept doing that? I'd still be doing that. See, y'all don't understand. I don't have any quitting sense. And I believe my pastor tells me the truth. As you know, once I believe it, you're not going to get me off of it till it's happening. Whether it's 2 hours, 2 years, 20 years, doesn't make any difference. But it didn't take as long as I thought. Anyway, so by an hour and a half goes by, and by now I'm going, I'm expecting tongues, you know. I'm going to do it now. Hand me my briefcase here, Mark. I wasn't expecting this one. I'm going to read you. It's pretty short. The actual words that I heard the first time. And that will probably get us into the break, and we'll pick up on hope after that. At least that's my plan. We'll find out. He knows that's subject to his plans. So I was, by this time, I'm getting pretty well set in, you know. Well, it's going to be tongues. Okay, I'm listening, I'm practicing, I've made up my mind. I mean, I've got 6 hours here to do this today. I'll be back tomorrow with another 8. I'm intending to get this. See, because really, now here's the thing. See, I don't know. I either need to do this or change churches. Well, Pastor Dave's telling me the truth or he's wrong. If he's wrong, I don't want to go here. I like what Alton Cagle said. Alton, raise your hand where you can see who you are. One time he said, now he says he lives in Hell's Back Porch. Norfolk, Virginia area. Seaport, lots of sailors. You know, pretty rough. There are no word, spirit-filled type churches there. So when people ask him, why don't you go to church, Alton? Because I don't want to walk in the council of the ungodly. Glory to God. So what he does, I mean, if there was a good word church, he'd be going. See, that's the thing. But since there's not, he doesn't want to go and listen to a bunch of unbelief every week. So he gets the tapes from Dave. He gets my tapes. And LaRue's. I don't know who all he gets. But he wants to receive godly counsel. Well, that's why I'm coming to this church. And if Dave's lying to me, or if he's just wrong, if he's well-intended but wrong, I'm not staying here. Now, he said, do this, you'll eventually begin hearing the Holy Spirit in English. That's either going to happen or I'm changing churches. Dave's telling me the truth or he's not telling me the truth. Got that? It's a life-changing thing for me. I'm going to stay there, bless God, till it changes, because if it doesn't, I'm probably going to switch churches. How real do you expect your gospel to be? This stuff's better work, hadn't it? All right. I was an hour and a half into it. Coriandis de la blandosto shindele beate Christos mandu odrian cuore sindatala. Sip, sip. That's coffee. Sip, sip, sip. Well, when you pray for hours, you need something to dry tongue, dry throat, you know. And now I get quiet, expecting tongues again, and nobody was more shocked. You talk about grabbing for your tape recorder. Because this time when I listened, it wasn't tongues. Hear the word of the Lord to you, my son. I have longed for this day to communicate with you. I have not left you in the dark, but I have come as a bright light to guide your path. Know and understand that the Lord your God loves you and has longed to lead you by the hand, to take you as his child and to lead you into vast, enormous places where you know not, to guide you safely through all sorts of dark and forbidding ways, but with the path in front of you always being so lit that there is no need to fear. There is no lack of safety. I am your friend. I am your counselor. I will not lead you in paths away from the Lord. For this purpose I have been sent, to guide you not only into the truth of the knowledge of His Word, but into the truth of the knowledge of His will for your life. You will come to trust me completely. You will come to rely on my voice in the face of all contradictory circumstances. You will come to rely on my leadership even when the entire world gives opposing counsel. Welcome. Welcome. I embrace you, says the Spirit. With arms outstretched, I embrace you with the embrace of love from your Father and from the Son. New realms are now opening to your mind. I will blossom your understanding beyond this veil of the natural into that realm of the Spirit where light prevails. Welcome to the realm of the Spirit, says the Lord. Welcome to my rooms of fellowship and to my rooms of counsel. These shall be great days. You shall do exploits. Those things that you have seen in your heart from your youth, they are now quickly, shortly upon you, says the Lord. Gird yourself up. Gird yourself up. The press shall be great. The throngs shall be enormous. But my peace and my counsel is yours, says the Spirit of grace. Oh, thank Him for me. Thank Him for me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I thank You for the Counselor, the Comforter You have sent, Lord. I thank You for the Counselor and the Comforter. Oh, hallelujah. Now, because my desire is to be completely transparent to help you, I'm going to tell you the date, August 6th, this year. Now, since August the 6th, what you see here for benefit of the tape, I've got my little ring binder here. These are printed on, these are typewritten pages on both sides. Can you see that? What do I have here? Approaching a half inch. It's not been a matter, people, of the Holy Spirit not desiring to teach us. The problem has been not being able to discern where He speaks, not being able to locate the ear of our spirit so that we can precisely hear Him. Got 2 minutes. What if? Let me just give you a scenario. And the reason I'm doing this is because it's a lesson that we're not going to really get to get into, but He makes it so simple. He says, had you been one of the 12 during the days of Jesus' ministry in the flesh on earth, and had you been walking with Him down any dusty trail in Israel, if you would have had a question of any kind, wouldn't you have turned to the Lord and asked Him? Would He have had to go off and seek for 40 days and nights to give you an answer? Or would you have received it immediately? What do y'all say? He says, do you understand I have sent the Spirit to walk stride for stride where you are? And your relationship with Him is to be precisely as it was. Were you walking with the Lord Jesus in the flesh? Jesus said, I'm going to send you another Comforter. There's two Greek words that's translated another. One of them means another of a different sort. The other one means another of the same kind. When He says, I'm sending you another Comforter, it's another of the same kind, just like me. And we have not known that. We have felt like orphans. Even though He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. When He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, the real word there is orphans. I won't ask you, most of my, even my spirit-filled Christian life, most days, when it comes to leadership, what do I do? What do I do? I felt like an orphan. And I'd listen. I mean, I know you have too. You pray. Every now and then I'd get something, but I'm talking the vast majority of the time. Felt like an orphan. Just make the best decision I could, going by the inner witness, you know, and what I know of the Word and everything that I could get, you know, I'd make a decision. But what if, just what if, the relationship we were supposed to have this whole time with the Holy Ghost was just like the one that the disciples had with Jesus in the flesh? It's supposed to be that way. See, this is not a religion. This is a family. You've been born again in your spirit with the very Spirit of Christ. That life is in you. You have been sent the very same Counselor and Comforter that He had, the Holy Spirit Himself. Now, we can see the disciples walking along getting counsel from Jesus, can't we? That's pretty easy for us to picture. But think one level higher. Jesus walking along, getting His counsel from the inside, from the Holy Spirit of His Father. What do you think he meant when he says, I don't do anything but what I see my Father doing? Well, who showed him that? The Holy Spirit showed him that. Jesus plainly said, my Father is in heaven. And he would look to heaven, like when he was to break the bread to feed to the 5,000. You know, he says he looked to heaven, and then he blessed and he broke. So he knew his Father was physically, you know, or spiritually, however you want to say that, in heaven. But yet he was accurate when he says, I don't do anything but what I see my Father doing. Well, who's showing him that, though? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one that bridges between heaven and earth. And he would show Jesus, well, here's what the Father wants to do today through you. I don't say anything but what I hear my Father saying. Well, who was bringing him that information? See, we don't often picture Jesus walking along with a whole world going on the inside of him. You know, you got that same kingdom on the inside of you that he had on the inside of him. Same, you've been born again. That life of God is on the inside of you. You have a holy of holies that has now, but you're in there. That's where your reborn spirit is, that holy of holies. And God's Shekinah, his glory, the Holy Spirit himself has come to be with you in there. And on the inside, we should be having perfect fellowship. Perfect communion with that Holy Spirit. Not just in tongues, although let me tell you, this is not at all taken away from that. That is the foundation for this. You still got to pray all those mysteries. There's a lot of things to understand, but I'm talking about a counselor. Counselor. Is that enough for one? It's 10:03. Okay, we'll have a break. God willing, we'll get into hope when we come back. Try and be back by, say, 10:30. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's good, isn't he? Hallelujah.